A Christmas Carol. Jacob Marley was dead as a doornail. Nobody was very sad about it, not even his business partner, Ebenezer Scrooge. The only thing that upset Scrooge was the cost of the funeral. Oh, he was a tight-fisted, grasping, scraping, clutching old sinner was Scrooge. The cold meanness inside him made his eyes red and his thin lips blue. Nobody ever stopped him in the street to say, "My dear Scrooge, how are you? When will you come to see me?" But Scrooge did not care. He sat at his counting house all day long and counted money. "Aha," he would say, "it's all mine now that Marley's dead." That was where he sat one cold Christmas Eve. His clerk, Bob Cratchit, a thin man wrapped up in a long threadbare scarf, was perched on a high stool. Just one lump of coal burned in the grate. There was a rap at the window, and a chirpy young voice sang, "God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dis—" "Push off!" bellowed Scrooge, so ferociously that the carol singers fled down the road. Bob Cratchit sighed. "Ah, Christmas. God bless it. One more word from you, Bob Cratchit, and you'll lose your job," snapped Scrooge. "Christmas? Bah, humbug. I suppose you expect a whole day off tomorrow."
"If it's convenient, sir," said Bob, rubbing his frozen hands together.
"It is not convenient. Why should I pay you a day's wages for no work, eh? Christmas? Bah, humbug. Humbug, I say."
Old Scrooge locked up his office. Bob Cratchit ran all the way home to his wife and children. But Scrooge walked back to the cold, dark rooms where he lived all alone. By the light of a candle, he searched the rooms for robbers. Nobody under the table, or under the sofa, or under the bed, or in the wardrobe, or in his dressing gown, where it hung on the door. He put on the dressing gown, his slippers and nightcap, and sat by the meager fire to eat his bowl of gruel. As he ate, the bell pull beside his chair began to swing. The bell rang, softly at first, then louder. Soon every bell in the house was ringing. Scrooge dropped his spoon. Just as suddenly, the bell stopped. There was a new sound, a clanking noise, as if someone was dragging a heavy chain. That someone was coming up the stairs, straight towards his door. On through the door it came, into the room. It was Jacob Marley. His body was quite transparent. The clanking chain wound round him was made up of cash boxes, steel purses, keys, and padlocks. "Oh, now, Ebenezer." Scrooge felt deathly cold.
"What do you want with me, Jacob? Why? Why are you chained?"
Marley's ghost raised a frightful cry and shook its chain.
"I wear the chain I made for myself during my life. These are the things I cared about. Money, money, and more money. Oh, Ebenezer, if you could see the chain that awaits you. It was as long as this one 7 years ago, and it's still growing."
Scrooge gazed at the ghost in horror.
"I came to warn you, Ebenezer. You are to be haunted. Haunted by three spirits."
Scrooge tried to say humbug, but he could not. The ghost walked backwards through the window and floated out into the bleak black night. Scrooge went straight to bed and tossed and turned until he fell asleep. The clock woke him. It chimed a dull, deep, hollow, unhappy one. Lights flashed on in the room, and the curtains round his bed were drawn back. Scrooge sat bolt upright and came face to face with a ghost.
"I am the ghost of Christmas past," droned the figure. "Your past, Ebenezer Scrooge. Rise and walk with me."
The ghost took Scrooge's hand. Together they passed through the bedroom wall and stood at once in a village street.
"Good heavens," cried Scrooge. "I know this place. I lived here as a boy."
A crowd of happy boys were playing in the snow and calling out, "Merry Christmas!" But when Scrooge peeked in through the window of the school, one little boy was sitting all alone, reading a book.
"Nobody likes him," said the ghost. "Nobody wants to play with him. All he wants to do in life is make a fortune."
"That small boy is me," said Scrooge tearfully. "Me, when I was 9 years old."
Suddenly they were no longer in the village, but inside a small, poor cottage.
"I've been here before, too,"
cried Scrooge.
"That girl on the sofa. Oh, ghost, do you see how pretty she is? I was going to marry her once. Her name is Clara."
The young lady could see neither Scrooge nor the ghost. Through her tears, she was trying to write a letter. Scrooge peered over her shoulder.
"You see, there is something you love more than me, money. So, my dear Ebenezer, I hope you will remember me when you are rich. Goodbye. Your own sweetheart, Clara."
"Take me home, ghost," cried Scrooge. "I can't bear it. I can't change what's past."
No sooner were the words spoken than Scrooge found himself in his own bedroom again. And where the ghost had stood, a single candle flickered. Scrooge was exhausted. It took all his strength to snuff out the candle before he reeled into bed and slept. Waking in the middle of a snore, Scrooge again heard the clock strike one. There was a light coming under the door, and a voice called,
come in, Scrooge."
In the next room, Scrooge found the jolliest of ghosts, dressed in a green robe trimmed with fur and with a holly crown on his head.
"I am the spirit of Christmas present. Touch my coat."
The walls of the room and the night beyond it melted away, and they stood in the snowy streets on Christmas morning. All the church bells were ringing, and people in their best clothes streamed out of the houses, greeting each other and calling,
"Merry Christmas!"
The ghost took Scrooge to Bob Cratchit's house, where Christmas dinner was cooking. There was a dish of potatoes and a very small, skinny goose. When Bob arrived home, he was carrying his son, Tiny Tim, on his shoulders.
"Ghost," whispered Scrooge. "The little lad is crippled."
"The family is very poor," replied the ghost. "If Tim doesn't get enough to eat, he will die, and Bob's heart will break."
But nobody in the Cratchit family complained about the size of the dinner. Bob raised his glass to drink a toast.
"To Ebenezer Scrooge, who pays my wages and so provided this meal."
"God bless him,"
cried Tiny Tim. But Mrs. Cratchit put down her glass.
Scrooge, indeed. I won't drink the health of that hard, cold, stingy man.
Scrooge's face dropped, and he turned to the spirit.
Take me home, he pleaded. Please, take me home.
But the ghost had disappeared. Somewhere, a clock was striking one, and Scrooge saw a hooded phantom moving like a mist along the ground towards him. Its black cloak hid everything but one outstretched pointing hand.
You are the spirit of Christmas yet to come, said Scrooge. I fear you.
It gave no reply, but pointed out some men Scrooge knew. They were laughing and talking.
When did he die? Said one.
Never thought he would, said another.
What's he done with his money? Asked a third.
Don't know, but it'll be a very cheap funeral, because nobody wants to go.
Scrooge tugged at the phantom's black sleeve.
Who are they talking about? It's terrible to talk of a dead man like this.
Instead of answering, the ghost pointed to the churchyard, and Scrooge crept trembling towards a newly filled grave. The cheap headstone had only two words on it. Ebenezer Scrooge.
Oh, ghost. Oh, oh no, no.
He clutched at the phantom.
I'll be different. I will, I will, I will.
He clutched at that one dreadful pointing hand, clutched and held onto it, although it was hard and cold and as wooden as a bedpost. Scrooge woke up, clutching the wooden corner post of his bed. The bedpost was real. The room was his own. And best of all, he was not dead.
Oh, I don't know what to do first, said Scrooge to himself,
laughing and crying at once.
I don't even know what day it is.
Running to the window, he opened it and called to a boy below.
What day is it? Why, it's Christmas Day, of course.
Christmas Day? So I haven't missed it, crowed Scrooge.
Hey, boy, you know the butcher's shop at the corner? Have they sold the prize turkey that was in the window? What, the one as big as me? No, sir.
Well, go and buy it and take it round to Bob Cratchit's house in a hackney cab. But mind you don't say who sent it. If you hurry, I'll give you half a crown.
Then he dressed himself all in his best and walked through the streets calling out,
Merry Christmas, everybody!
And every time he saw someone who owed him money, he said,
Don't worry about that £20. I don't need the money. Forget all about it. Oh, and Merry Christmas.
He went to his nephew's house and invited himself to dinner, and had the merriest, most wonderful Christmas he had ever had in his life. But he was at the office early next day. He wanted to get there before Bob Cratchit. And he did. Bob was 2 minutes late.
What do you mean by coming in here at this time of day?
Growled Scrooge.
I'm very sorry, sir, said Bob in terror of losing his job. I had such a wonderful Christmas yesterday. Such an amazing thing happened. But I promise this won't happen again, Mr. Scrooge, sir.
I can promise you it won't, said Scrooge. I'm not going to stand for this sort of thing any longer. So,
he stood up and gave Bob such a dig in the ribs that the clerk almost fell over.
So, I'm about to raise your wages and shorten your hours. Merry Christmas, Bob. Stoke up the fire and then come into my office. I want you to tell me how I can help that splendid family of yours.
So Tiny Tim did not die, and no more ghosts visited Scrooge in the middle of the night. In fact, Ever afterwards, it was said of him that he knew how to celebrate Christmas better than any man alive. And so, as Tiny Tim observed when he saw the turkey arrive by Hackney cab that Christmas morning, God bless us, everyone.